With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. It's me, it's David Baddiel, with Tim Hinks.
Hello, David.
We haven't got a big, fancy guest this week, have we?
No, we haven't. It's just us.
It's just us. Back in the shed.
Back in the shed. I loved having Ricky on. I always like having a guest on, but it's nice if it's just you and I, and obviously Bella, the producer, sitting here.
Yeah.
It feels like home.
No, I mean, I think purists who listen to this, they like the big guests. Mm. It's a little bit of a treat. But at heart, they think, I wish it was just David and Tim.
I think it's like reality shows. Like, they like the celebrity versions, but what you really want is the original, the best. And that's what we are.
Exactly.
We?
We're the default. Yeah. We're the version of this. By I mean you are, as in like the original.
I don't know, what do you mean?
Well, I think when I was at college, that's what you described as, like, there'd be Hamlet, right? And then there's an version of Hamlet, which is the original source text of Hamlet.
I've so, never as in
you are, I think. You are hyphen.
Okay.
Yeah. We're the Stalking Time for the Moon, which just sounds like I don't know what it's called.
No, exactly. Just as you're stuttering a bit and thinking. But it's nice to be back together. And I did ask you in the week, actually. I texted you, and I can't remember if we talked about this, because I referred to us as the Moon Boys. And maybe we've talked about this before, do we think we're the Moon? We don't think we are.
We have talked about this, Tim.
Yeah, what did we say?
What, we, what we said is that we're the Moon Boys.
Right.
Well, what I said is, I think you've got a different opinion. We're the Moon Boys, and I said we're stalking David Bowie's legacy.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right, right. Stalking his legacy. I don't think legacy would spot us.
Well, stalking...
Stalking him is one thing.
We're stalking stuff about David Bowie.
Right,
trivia,
yeah.
Little bits of old recordings,
yeah.
Photographs of him drinking tea.
Yeah.
You know, that's like... Actually, is kind of like what a stalker might do if you're obsessed with the minutiae of someone.
I suppose what I feel is... And I'm not talking about the whole... Stalking time debate. It still rages out in Britain.
We've had
I know
that.
People are still talking about that all over the country.
Yeah, who knows?
But I'm more saying, for the record, I am uncomfortable referring myself as a moon boy. If someone said, you're one of them, because it just feels an odd thing to say about yourself.
Okay, well, I tell you, the thing it actually brings to my mind is moon boots, which I don't think David had in his mind when he came up with the lyric, but... When I've gone skiing, I don't go skiing anymore.
Yeah.
I was always very shit at skiing.
Right, right.
But I have gone skiing, and then I used to wear, not for actual skiing, but for like tramping across the snow, moon boots.
Mm.
They shouldn't really have been called moon boots, because they should be called snow boots. But
I think they were called...
You know those big...
I know totally what you mean.
Soft...
Were they called moon boots because they look like the boots that astronauts wear?
I think they must have
been, because they don't have any...
I mean, Stalking Time for the Moon Boots would have been a shit lyric.
It's
although, you know...
very specialist footwear podcast. But and that's the joy of podcasts, right? Probably you would get
some people...
There
probably is one somewhere.
...listening to that.
But, yeah. So I've come from my dentist...
Just now.
Okay. Yeah. I normally come from home, but my dentist is in Notting Hill, and my dentist is a comedian.
Oh, I don't know if you,
this is a not very well known thing about the comedy world, is that practically every comedian in Britain, certainly every comedian who lives in London, which, to be honest with you, is a lot of comedians. Sorry, being London centric for a minute there, goes to a guy called Simon Godley.
Okay,
and Simon Godley used to be in a double act called The Nice People. Is still. Occasionally, definitely does comedy. He's a very, very funny bloke, very sweet bloke. But he's also a dentist. And so, as far as I'm aware, he is Eddie Izzard's dentist.
Wow.
He is Frank Skinner's dentist, which frankly doesn't suggest much for his dental skills. He is Jack D's dentist. And I was just there now. And this is someone you won't know, and neither will any of our listeners. But he used to be Lilo Ross's dentist. And Lilo Ross was a very large... female comedian who I remember from the 1980s.
Okay.
She had
Can I just say, while you're doing this, and I failed, I'm scanning my mind for a dental-based pun for a comedian's name, and I literally have been scanning it. I can't think of a single one.
What, you mean a comedian something like, with...
I was going to say...
Jack
does,
Teeth.
Right, does
That's
Jack...
That's terrible.
Right, but say Jack Teeth was a good pun on Jack... I was going to say, does Jack Teeth go to
Right.
But I can't
but
think of a single...
It isn't.
It's not.
Anyway, Simon, he was talking about Lilo Ross, and Lilo Ross's great joke. Not quite as good as that, but I think it is a great joke. She was a big woman, and she used to talk about how that's really the only thing anyone notices about me,
right,
is
right.
that how big I am. She right. said, if there was an atom bomb, she actually said atom bomb, which dates it
That
bit,
does date
an
it.
An atom bomb hovering over London, and I was the person who flew up in a jet and dismantled it. The headline next day would be, "She's fat," which is a very funny joke,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But then, the reason I'm bringing this up is that apparently Lilo didn't go well for her in comedy, despite that great joke. And he told me, which I didn't know, is that she became a psychic afterwards, a professional clairvoyant.
She didn't see that coming.
Afterwards, apparently not. Well, he didn't see it coming. He's not a professional clairvoyant. Mm. And then he told me this really brilliant story about how he used to continue to do her teeth, and he had told her that he'd bought a flat in Cricklewood from a bloke who died, and the family had just let him keep the stuff that's left in the flat because they didn't want any of it.
Right.
And then the next time she came, she said, I'm getting a signal from the other side. And it's a man. I think he sold you his flat. And he went, yeah, I told you that. I went, yes, but I'm getting a signal from him. And you know what? I think he wants to give me some of his furniture. And she ended up coming round to his flat, and every room she went into, she said, yes, 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 I think this is it. I think this
that
is the piece
brilliant.
I was after. Yeah. And that I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. A brilliant idea.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it round to Bowen. The only way I can get it round to Bowen.
There really isn't a single comedian you can turn into a tooth pun. I think I've exhausted them.
There must be one.
Just to see if you can, because it's just really annoying.
I mean, so if you're looking for
a pun, Jimmy Tarbuck teeth.
That's terrible.
No, it's awful, but I'm not offering it up as a good one.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's
how far back I've gone. You're right, there is that. I
have gone. I felt for a minute Jimmy Carr would lend it.
He's just got very, very bright teeth.
No, but I thought somehow Carr, I've convinced myself there was some dental pun on.
I'll tell you what you could do is go away from teeth, think filling.
Yeah, okay, well, I tried that.
Root,
but
canal.
Honestly, I went through that.
Dentist thing. Plaque.
Oh, plaque sounds promising.
Plaque, is there? I mean, I'm not. I haven't got one. There must be a comedian whose name's
Plaque D.
Plaque D.
Yeah. Plaque D.
Well, I was thinking Plaque. Jack Plaque.
Right.
Jack Plaque. We've done it. Can we leave it now?
That does help me.
I'm going to go and see High Fidelity with Jack Plaque. Good. Anyway. To get it round to Bowie, and I genuinely thought this, it wasn't just crowbarring, I thought it'd be quite a good thing. Mm. I think maybe next year we should get a psychic on to see if they can contact David Bowie.
That would be amazing.
And tell us what Bowie's doing, and maybe what Bowie thinks of the podcast. Because there's no question that David is listening. I mean, he was very up to speed, wasn't he, with almost everything that went
on.
Yeah,
he was a big on.
He was very internet aware. And so I think if he's in the afterlife, we know he's probably in a band with George Michael and Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I can't remember how we
established guys.
That, but yeah,
although
yeah.
actually, I still think he might keep himself away from them.
Also, he's probably got bored of them now because he used to change bands a lot.
You know what? Even though he did collaborate quite a lot, David, one always had a sense of like, well, I'm only doing this because it's not going very well for me in the 80s,
so I have
to do a single with Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
I think he's up there probably keeping himself to himself, but he's still definitely listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway. If anyone's out there and is a psychic,
yeah, it'd be good actually. Yeah.
You know, or knows a psychic, do get in touch because I think it'd be fun.
Presumably, they would have cleared their diary already.
Yeah, no, they know it's happening.
For the next podcast.
We can get on and talk about Bowie. So that's where I've been anyway. Mm. I don't know if you know, my teeth look quite white. I don't know if you know
they look white. Yeah,
they're whiter than normal.
Oh, I see, they're whiter now. Yeah,
yeah.
Give us a smart little look.
Because often my lower teeth are a little bit
grey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which I know I should sort out because I'm on telly sometimes. And people like Jimmy Carr, as we've mentioned.
Yeah, have very white.
Like got teeth so white it's almost impossible to look at without sunglasses. Yes. But I don't normally bother with that. But I am singing on, and by the time you listen to this, this will have happened, on Sports Personality of the Year.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I'm singing Three Lions on Sports Personality of the Year. Funny enough, it's Three Lions. No one's asked me to sing Life on Mars.
Well, it's weird, but normally you should say, I'll just do another song, right? I'll do that, but you didn't try that.
Yeah, I'll do that, but I'll just do two songs this time. Yeah, Well, I should have said, shouldn't I? I said, I'll do it.
I don't want to do
that. If I could do this song
I just want to do two.
I wrote for myself.
Yeah.
No one's heard. or if I can cover, that's what I should have said. I'll cover Lady Stardust. On Sports Personality of the Year.
What do you think they would say? No. I think the person... Well,
I think they would say, no, we don't want you on.
But I think they'd check. I think the researcher would say, I just need to check that.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a meeting going like, oh, God, we definitely want him to do the three lions, so just don't
let him down. It's not called The Three Lions.
What's it called?
It's not called The Three Lions.
Well, I suppose The Three Lions song.
Like a grandpa might say, can you do The Three Lions? You know, The Three Lions.
We want him to do the two of them. It'll be, we want him to do three lines, so don't like let him down. Like, do it gently, but we can't possibly having Lady Stardust.
Yeah, because apart from anything, it's sports personality of the year. It's not even a sports song.
Be strange, you know.
That would be weird. I mean, there aren't that many other sports. Yeah. I'm not going to cover the New Order song because that's a kind of rival song.
No, of course it is. Yeah.
So I suppose I could do one not about football, but there aren't that many songs about any other sports, are there?
You could just say,
what other songs are there about other sports?
Sport.
Are there any songs about tennis? Oh yeah, John McEnroe did one. Chalk Dust, it was called. That's right.
Wow.
Chalk Dust, here we go. Let's hear a bit of it. Oh, hang on. Is it on Top of the Pops?
Out. What? Out. What? The ball was out.
You gotta be kidding! The ball's in! Everyone can see that the ball's in!
The single, Chalk Dust, is by The Brat. John McEnroe, so maybe it's someone just doing an impression of him.
That doesn't sound like him.
No,
but
perhaps it's not him. The Brat, Chalk Dust, maybe. Do you think that would have a Wikipedia entry? That itself would have a Wikipedia. Yeah, no, it's by Roger Kitter.
Okay, not Federer.
No, it's by Roger Kitter, who's an English actor, best known for playing John McEnroe.
Wow.
And here he is.
That's
on Top of the Pops.
Who, John?
No, it's not John. It's someone much, much stouter than John.
Right.
Certainly in 1982. And he doesn't look anything like him, but he's got a headband on and curly hair and a sort of tennis jumper. And, yeah, he's playing tennis.
Shit, I don't believe this, man. You can't be serious. That ball was in by about a mile. You people here are goddamn senile.
See what it is. Yeah, it's a very early rap song. So
yeah,
it might be the earliest white rap song ever.
Does it say what date it is?
1982.
It is. Oh God, it's 82. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But that's what it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's
in
kind
sense,
of the same
it?
Time as Grandmaster Flash,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got that beat that early rap had. You know, like my children sometimes find it hilarious.
Yeah.
To go with a hip hop.
Yeah.
A hippity hop. One, two. That incredibly
shit.
But
also Blondie was credited on what's the song?
Dreaming, is it? Or
where she raps.
Yeah. Is it Dreaming or French Kissing in the USA?
No, it's not that. It's before all that. It's okay. It's like it's
yes,
atomic,
I know what you mean.
Is it
can't
atomic?
I don't know. This is us being a bit
but
ancient that we can't remember
that
this.
That rap was so maybe this predates it. Maybe.
I'm going to have to find out. Okay, Blondie rap.
Well, I think that's a
now that Now that we're talking this, I suppose we need to find that. Rapture. No, that's January 1981.
Okay, so but it's Rapture.
So,
you know,
so
it's
it was Rapture and then Chalk Dust by The Brat.
By our extensive scouring of rap history, tells us that's the order it came in.
Yeah.
There were no others in between.
Yeah. So it actually says here on Ars Technica Open Forum, the first rapper is Blondie. It would have been marvellous if we could have said, no, it isn't. It's John Kitter as The Brat.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it is later than that. Going back to what we're talking about,
I don't think
it would work if I said to the sports personality producers, I want to do Three Lions and then Chalk Dust by The Brat.
No,
and then they're saying, you can't do that. And I say, well, it's a sports song. What's your problem?
They might say, and also they might say, that's one of the earliest rap crossovers, actually. So there's an argument.
So brilliant.
Let me talk to the producer.
Because actually what they're doing, and you will have seen this, so I'm not giving anything away by the time this goes out, is they're doing a very diverse version of Three Lions. So what it is using lots of the memes and versions of it that were around during the summer, and a choir, a gospel choir, me and Frank and Ian and the Lightning Seeds are going to be playing in front of this huge gospel choir.
Amazing.
And it's going to include tablas and steel drums and all the rest of it. And it's going to be a great big multicultural version of Three Lions, which is very good. But surely some rapping would help as well. What I was going to say is, of course, Chalk Dust is a novelty song.
Right.
And the charts used to regularly have novelty songs in them. Mm. And actually that thing of like John McEnroe, he would have been like a thing. Like people were totally talking about him and his outbursts in 1982. Yeah. Everyone was like, you know, couldn't get enough of that being a thing in 1982. And so what's happened to that?
So I suppose, well, you know more about this, but I suppose the internet is now full of really silly things, right? Where you put a track over a silly picture, or you, or someone does some mad sort of song, and it goes, it memes all around the world. That's where they are now, isn't it? That's happening.
But if you mean that Gangnam Style has replaced that, Gangnam Style isn't exactly a novelty song.
No,
like
I didn't mean
Chalk Dust is.
I more meant that people are now doing parodies of things all the time, mashing things up on the internet, and that's the outlet.
Funnily enough, in terms of what you just said about Chalk Dust and cocaine, I tweeted the other day this, but I did really feel it at the time. I was going into a meeting, and I take quite a lot. Well, this is... No, I don't want to tell you because it ruins the punchline, which is that I had all this white sort of dust I noticed on my trousers before I went into this meeting, and I thought, oh my God, they might think I've been taking coke
badly.
So fucked by taking coke that I just let it go on my trousers. But what then I realised, well, no, I'm 54. They'll probably know what it is. Rennie. That's what it is. It's ready, right? Because if you bite into a ready without sort of thinking about it, it's very crumbly.
Right, right.
And basically, I do have quite a lot of digestive issues.
Hang on.
Why? And I had taken a ready, and it's sort of like dust had gone into my...
cords. Why don't you just put it in your mouth?
Well, what had actually happened was, actually, now I think about it, it wasn't the biting, now I remember it.
Right.
What I tend to do is I tend to have Rennies about me, and I think what happened was I'd got it out of my pocket in the packet, and I'd been trying to get one out of the plastic and it had crumbled as I was doing that and had gone all over my corduroy trousers.
Right, right.
And it was only as I went into the meeting that I thought, oh no, my corduroy trousers are stuck in the grooves, I've got white dust. They'll think it's coke. No, they won't. They'll know it's Rennie. I'm 54. I'm Jewish. They'll guess.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But,
did you start explaining it? They might think, maybe it was coke.
I did what I always do now, which is tweet about it. I thought it actually did quite well. Yeah. Not only that, it was repeated in the Times. This happens to me quite a lot. It was like...
The tweet gets repeated.
In a diary where they put funny things, whatever. They just completely did the tweet.
But I mean, by the way, that is a constant thing now, right? News stories and so on. They'll sort of say Putin says he's Ukraine is such. You think, no, that's from a tweet he's done. It doesn't mean he doesn't think it. But like, that's a very different sort of journalism, isn't it?
It's a kind of weird thing where, you know, you get sort of... I mean, I think my tweet that I did that went very viral, where I said... What I said was it was when Dominic Raab resigned. I don't know how to pronounce his name because there's so many A's in it.
It's Raab, isn't it?
Is it Raab? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's Raab, yeah.
Raab. When Dominic Raab resigned, and he was like the fourth Brexit secretary or whatever to resign, I suppose I should be Brexit secretary because then when I resign, Theresa May can finally truthfully say that no deal is better than
Brexit. We haven't talked about that.
Oh,
that was
huge. You ruined it.
Oh, sorry, I talked about it.
I can't believe you talked over it.
Because it's very famous.
It is famous, yeah. No deal is better than Badil. It's quite funny that you talked over it.
Say it again.
She can finally say that no deal is better than Badil.
Right.
And there's an interesting question about that, me doing it on this podcast, which is it still funny said, or is it only funny written down? Because you say no deal is better than Badil.
Yeah, but isn't there a way of saying it that goes, no deal is better than a bad deal?
Well, yes. You have to pronounce my name wrong for the joke to really work.
And
actually, someone
pointed
this out. Yeah. Someone like Richard Herring, whenever I'm on a show with him, always tells the audience that his dad used to insist on calling me David Badiel.
Right.
So I think he said the joke only works if you pronounce it as... But even that doesn't work. No deal is better than Badiel. Doesn't really work either. It has to be bad deal, which in fact no one calls me David Bad Deal, unless they're trying to do that joke.
I think there's some latitude given, isn't there?
Yes, no, I think you'd say no deal is better than Badiel.
Well, obviously there is, because it was so big,
I think it's fine to say no deal is better than Badiel for the joke.
Yeah, I know what you mean about it looking better written down, because it doesn't raise those questions.
Yes, it doesn't raise those questions,
And
anyway,
it's huge.
That tweet got like 100,000 likes.
Yeah.
And then they tweeted about it, they did a thing about it in the Times, and then I tweeted about the Times talking about it, and someone pointed out this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a sort of snake eating its own bum.
Exactly, snake
basically.
Eating its own bum. Mm. Anyway, I'm going to be on Sports Personality of the Year. I'm not going to be doing either Lady Stardust or Chalk Dust. I'm just going to be doing two lines. And the reason I went to the dentist was, and then to come back to what we're talking about, is because I thought, I don't want my teeth to look shit, because I'll probably be opening my mouth more than I would normally, because I'm singing.
Right.
Normally, when I'm just talking, I thought, well, probably people do notice.
I don't think you. Yeah, I don't think you were.
I talked about this with Ricky. Hmm. I don't really notice teeth It's not the thing I first notice on a face, but my wife always goes on about people's teeth.
Having good teeth.
And had gone on to me at some length about how she didn't really fancy Bowie anymore once he had his teeth fixed. And that isn't why I went to the dentist this morning, but it did make me think, oh, maybe I shouldn't be on... You know, it'd be bad enough that I'm going to be singing terribly in front of 12 million people. I don't want them also to be saying, and he looks like Albert Steptoe.
Mm. So what after the Ricky conversation, well, actually before it, so actually the opposite of what I just said, I was listening a lot to Stage.
Yes.
Which, and we talked a bit about it with Ricky. Stage is the live album, as you know.
Yes.
But for those listeners who might not, live album, 1978, post-Heroes.
It's that tour that I saw, actually. It's the Isolar
tour. And you see, and one of the reasons I listened to it, because I know you saw it, and I think that's incredibly cool to have seen it. He's in his post, he's I don't know what drugs he's taking, but he's post the sort of crisis now.
He's taking that
many
drugs.
No, I think, sometimes he says that in Berlin he did take loads of drugs, so I'm not quite sure.
He went to Berlin partly to clean up.
Well, that's, yes, but I've also heard
him
say...
Seems an odd idea when I think about Berlin in the 70s.
Yeah, and also, but he talks about going to sort of transvestite bars and until 6 in the morning, and I don't know.
Well,
I'm imagining...
Don't imagine there's any drugs there.
No, I shouldn't think so. They've got enough,
place to clean
enough
up
on their plates.
Yeah.
So he's very cool. He's doing that whole European craft worky thing. And the gig, as you know, and the album is absolutely fantastic, and there's so much cool stuff. But obviously, as always with Bowie, there's some incredibly cool stuff, and there's some slightly puzzling stuff. And the two things, one's a really small thing, and then one is basically, unless I've missed it, there is a song where basically Coco the Clown is playing keyboards.
Okay.
And that would
not
be worth...
Not Mike Arson.
I think it's Coco the Clown.
Okay.
But it's not a story I've ever read about, so okay. Let's right. see. So the first
you can
one...
You hear that.
...is a tiny thing, which is he starts a song, which is one of the most recognisable intros to any Bowie song ever. And I think it's just interesting to me, the audience take... quite a long time to sort of and as a Bowie fan, you're always looking for sort of like, oh, you're not that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Much of a Bowie fan, I'm thinking. Yeah. So I'm not going to test you because it's so obvious.
You can test me.
Well, you will know what this is within seconds, I think. There is a bit of crowd noise anyway, but it's not the sound of a crowd loving something.
Okay.
So this is the song.
It's 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need any more on that.
I know.
So if you like that, you want to cheer now, don't you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm cheering. It's 5 years. Yeah. Hooray!
It's one drum beat and you're cheering.
Yeah.
Whereas they don't take that long, but they take too long, in my opinion.
Okay.
Pushing through the market
square.
There.
Oh, but no, this is a thing.
So that...
You're actually talking about a thing that I've noticed.
Is that real?
No, definitely real, but it's a thing. Mm. It's very odd that you've come up with this, because I have thought this many times.
Right.
Which is that thing of listening to any live performer, live singer, when the audience clap. I mean, I've always thought it's quite a funny thing anyway.
Yeah,
that
it is.
I actually associate it much more with kind of Vegas and
lounge
singers.
And Sinatra.
Doing My Way or whatever. That's that thing of like, oh, yes, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Particularly as a comedian, I always think, like, if you're doing a joke that people have heard before, they don't do that. They go, I've heard it.
Yes.
They don't go, oh, great, he's telling this one.
They don't
one.
Rush down to the front.
No, they don't think, oh, good, no, they fuck off. Although, actually, latterly, that's not true, because I went and saw Python at the O2, and that's jokes. And basically, people were essentially applauding with joy. Because they were doing sketches that those people had heard maybe 100 times.
Right, but that's the difference between a sketch, literally a joke,
you
wouldn't want to hear again, would you?
Well, that's very interesting.
You know, Jimmy Carr, for example, does punch, you know, he does often just
Jimmy
punch.
But Jimmy Carr does a tour called something like the Golden Best of blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Right.
So he does actually do that. So maybe there is a space for it. But that's a whole other question.
Yeah,
what I do think is true that you've pointed out is that even gigs where you think, like, well, it must be mainly massive fans of whoever this person is, it does seem that they don't really get the song till that person starts singing. It always seems the way.
Yeah.
Like, so it always seems like, I mean, My Way is an example. Like, the intro to My Way is completely obvious, but it still seems to me like they don't actually applaud until he says, and now.
Yes.
It's like, and now you can applaud because it's clear I'm singing My Way.
But
how could you not have known? It was fucking obvious with the intro. That actually rhymes. But, you know, you'd have thought it was really apparent.
Yeah.
But I think it might be either that they're very thick or maybe there's an etiquette of some sort. Maybe
but
it's
I would have thought it's... We've all been to gigs. It's unbridled joy when you think, yes, he's playing a great song. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't cheer on that very famous drum beat, for example. And what? But you're
but then
right.
But then it's a slightly weird thing that Bowie might think... Like, you've cheered, way, it's 5 years. And then he goes, you know, pushing through the market square and there's nothing. And he might be like, fuck off, I'm doing 5 years. What's happened to you?
He might be
pissed off. No. But in fact, everyone in the audience thinking, well, we applauded with the drum beat, David. Did you miss it? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that might be partly what it's to do with.
Yes. And also, I was in watching my youngest child's carol concert the other day, and there was about, I don't know, 100...
Did you applaud when it was like, Hark the Herald Angels, oh...
No, he did 5 years. It was amazing. No, there was about 100 or so parents in this church, and they sang a song. And I'm always funny about church because I didn't really grow up with church, so it's a slightly intimidating, for anyone, you know, an intimidating sort of place where you feel you're slightly constrained.
Right.
They did a song, his, you know, kids in his class, and there was complete silence at the end of it in the way
what
sometimes
was the song?
It was I don't know, it was like,
was it chalk dust? I was just totally confused.
It was, do you know what, I can't actually remember. It was a carol, you know.
Right.
It was a carol. It was
okay.
You know,
you can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
God rest you, merry gentlemen.
Let's say that, because I'm not going to let. Yeah. So they've done that. They've done it really beautifully.
That's my favourite.
They did it really beautifully and did it really well, and they were all loving it, and it's Christmas. And it stopped, and there was complete silence, like there is sometimes in the theatre or, you know, or in
really?
A musical, you know. Because and I started the clap.
Right.
I basically did what they did on 5 years there.
Yeah.
I just started that.
Right.
And very quickly it took off.
Yes.
And the whole audience is...
Well, I can only assume then that people didn't know it was over. Because that happens quite a lot. That happened to me recently.
No, it was definitely over.
It happened to me recently at a classical concert. I went to a classical concert.
Yes.
So I'm doing a Radio 3 documentary about trying to like classical music.
Right.
Not going that well at the moment.
Right.
The documentary's going quite well, but me liking classical music
is hard. Yeah.
Not really happening. Mm. But obviously one of the problems is you go to those and it's in movements and you're not meant to clap in between movements. But if you think it's over... and you might sort of want it to be over, you start clapping and then like, no, shh, and you feel like a fucking idiot. And then that happened as well at a school concert, also classical.
Right.
There was like violining going on and whatever.
Yeah,
and I thought it was finished and it wasn't finished.
Right.
It was just a gap in the music. And again, there was like, shh. Okay, sorry.
No,
that is a bit of a problem.
No, that's a problem. But anyway, everyone clapped and someone turned to me and said, well done for starting off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I think everyone felt like they're just kids and like, even if you're not supposed to clap.
Are you sure they weren't saying well done to the kids? You've taken that well done. They might
now
have been,
come to
might have been
it.
Like directing it to the stage.
Yeah, no, it was definitely at me.
Well done,
put
it well done. Oh, he's slapping me for clapping. Oh, that's what Tim thought.
It's not possible for other people to get compliments when I'm in the room. I think it's all me.
But well done for starting the applause at
so
your
I started
children's
the applause at the
carol
and
service.
And I feel good
well
about
done.
That.
That's
and,
good.
What
was the other thing?
The other thing is
Coke
is,
the Clown.
Right, so this is the essence of Bowie, isn't it? Because I think this is an incredible. This is incredible. It's Soul Love.
Yeah.
He does Soul Love.
Okay.
And it's beautiful and it's cool. I'll just play you a little bit of the intro. So it's a really cool version of it.
It's quite, it's late. It's got that thing though, which, interesting enough, even you know, when he was doing Heroes and all the rest of it, I think what he did with the old songs was a Young Americans thing, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
So
I
what
agree
he tended
that,
to do because
yeah.
he didn't do what he might do, although there is synth on Ziggy Stardust, but he didn't do what he might do, which is to craft work them up or whatever. He tended to go with kind of slightly funky as he's doing version of, and there's a very funky version of Rebel,
that's
I think,
right, yeah.
On this as
but
well.
But I think it's beautiful, and his voice is deep, and he's, as you say,
it's fantastic.
Young America. So it's incredibly cool, and it's the sort of European canon, and everything's great, and he's wearing that incredible bomber jacket. And then we'll see what you think. Maybe you think it's in keeping. But I think then Coco the Clown plays the solo.
Okay.
He's created a solo because there isn't
interesting
a
idea.
Yeah. So, and I've never read about it, so it may not be Coco.
It may not be Coco.
But okay. It's absolutely mad.
Let's hear
it. Solo. Here it comes. That is absolutely ridiculous.
That's not piano, is it?
No, it's like a... It's a weird...
What is it?
It's like a synth. It's a synth, right?
It's not guitar?
No, 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 no. Well, I think it's a synth.
Because obviously So Love at that point is a guitar song.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's...
It's probably synth. It's probably a weird 70s synth. I mean...
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Can you play the Ziggy Stardust thing? Yeah. That might throw some light on it, because basically what I'm saying is if the whole thing was like, generally I'm moving to synth...
Yeah, but even if he is, that is a ridiculous solo on a very cool song.
Let's just hear that. Did he, at the end of this, did he say, Ziggy played synthesizer? Because it's not guitar.
Let's have a listen.
No, I'm sure,
I know.
I'm
no,
sure
I always like the way he ends it, because sometimes he ends on, Ziggy plays guitar, like that. And sometimes I go, Ziggy played guitar. And it depends what mood he's in.
Yeah. None of those sounded exactly like I remember him doing it. But
that was me doing it, by the way, not Spotify.
Okay,
right. Yeah. Do you think he goes down or up?
Because it's such an unusual version of it, I can't call it.
He may just go...
like Coco the Clown.
Yeah. Ziggy played... That's the best.
Extraordinary version of it. I mean, it's sort of an X Factor thing. You know, in the X Factor, there's always a point at which someone thinks, I'll do a really long note.
Yeah.
And that'll get Simon Cowell on his feet.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that necessarily that's what David was thinking. But that's
I didn't like it, David. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. The element of that too. That's the longest note.
That's incredible. Well,
Ziggy played guitar that I've ever heard.
But it's your point about the young American's voice. He's found that voice in this period, isn't he? And he's confident with it.
Yeah.
Because
it's very synth, the whole thing. Having said all that about the young American's thing, actually, that is very synth. So I wonder if that is more, in a way, more Heroes. One thing about Coco the Clown, by the way.
We don't think it is.
Well, Coco the Clown died in 1974. His real name was Nikolai Polyakov.
Okay.
No relation, I believe, to the TV playwright. Nikolai Petrovich Polyakov. And he, it says here, he was the foolish character who was always on the receiving end of buckets of water and custard pies.
Right.
Which is like, sometimes I think, I wonder why Wikipedia bothers.
That's quite a legacy, isn't it?
Yeah, we know what a clown is, Wikipedia.
Maybe.
But anyway, he died in 74, so almost definitely that was 78. He didn't play the piano,
right?
Or synthesizer. I agree. I know what you mean. It is a slightly zany version.
It just seems
played on. But remember, and we've never played this actually because I think because it depresses me too much. Mm. But I have always threatened to play. Maybe we'll leave it till the next one. David Bowie and Peter Frampton.
Yeah,
walking around. Barcelona.
Yeah, we should do that.
Having fun in an incredibly unfunny way. It's the worst example of David being a Wally,
which he could be.
But the reason I bring it up is that this was 78, the vocoder, and that. So I wonder if it was that. I wonder if what you've just played me was a vocoded guitar.
There may be something in that, although that
because that sounds very like wah, 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 wah. That sort of ducky noise.
Sounds like what?
Sounds like that, doesn't it? That, by the way, wasn't Spotify. Again, that wasn't the Coco the Clown solo.
If you did develop a sort of odd sort of stutter and it happened on this podcast, that's the first time it's happened.
Well, it'd be terrible if
I feel
happened,
like
that happens on Sports Personality of the Year.
I don't know whether to point it out.
Back. That would be terrible.
I would feel like I don't want to point it out, and Ben and I should have a quiet word after and say it was all fine. It was a bit in the podcast where he went whack whack whack. I just wonder whether was it the dentist? Was it the anaesthetic?
Might have been, the voice, the teeth went a bit funny.
The other thing with the live, the final.
There's more.
I was only going to say,
as Jimmy Cricket said, and there's more.
It's a test. I've been listening to lots of him live. And
Jimmy Cricket.
Lots of Jimmy Cricket live. Who was on? What was Jimmy Cricket on?
Oh, surely he's been on one of your programs.
New Faces, wasn't he? Was he?
Originally, he was on New Faces. They all were.
Right.
Every single comedian from the 70s was originally on New Faces. But Jimmy Cricket who some of our listeners will have no idea what we're talking about now. Let me just very quickly...
What even was he? Was he an impressionist?
No, he was a comedian, but he was one of those comedians in the 70s who had like such a sort of ridiculous persona that you kind of think, like, what is that? So he wore a funny big hat and then shorts rolled up. No, shorts rolled up.
Right.
And he just said, and there's more a lot. Here he is.
It said, clean toilets ahead. And it took me nearly 3 hours to clean them toilets. Ladies and gentlemen, I broke down, you know, and I fell on the motorbike. Give me a lift here. Yeah. I said, fell on the motorbike. Come here. That's the first time I've been on a sidecar. He said, I don't have a sidecar. I said, no wonder I'm out of breath.
Quite a good joke,
good
I think.
Joke.
Good joke.
I like that.
That is a good joke. Well done, Jimmy. But anyway, Jimmy Cricket. Why did he come
That's
up?
That's a funny joke, isn't it?
It is a good joke. Yeah. Why did he come up?
He came up because... I literally can't remember.
No, I have no idea.
Can you remember why we're
no
talking
idea.
About Jimmy
no,
Cricket?
No, can't remember. No, she's dozed off ages ago.
No, I honestly don't know how we...
Like sometimes we
Coco
say...
Coco the Clown.
We say bits that are really quite funny on this.
Coco the Clown?
I'm just going to say that we say bits that are really quite funny. Right. Every so often I glance at Bella to see if she's laughing, and she frankly never is. Now, I don't know if that's because it's not funny.
She's thinking about the edit.
Or because she's not really listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, you do laugh sometimes. That's true. Occasionally, she laughs
at you.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I go whack, 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 whack. She always laughs at that.
Yeah. So you did notice you did that. I'm relieved.
So what's your?
I need the.
We've time is running out.
I need
on
the
this
plug,
podcast.
But I'll just do a quick test on you.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to another live album where he's not as impressive as in
David Lloyd.
Well, no, it's Cracked Actor, which
is that an actual album?
Yeah,
or is
it's
that like
on Spotify.
Okay.
It's but I don't know.
So that's from when?
So that's like 70, I think it's like sort of 74, so it's post Aladdin Sane. It's the Alan Yentob year. It's that.
I wouldn't call it the Alan Yentob years. I mean, I like Alan, but I don't know if David would have called 1974 the year he released Aladdin Sane the Alan Yentob years.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, it was the year that he...
When I look back, if I could have Ricky here to do the impression...
Yeah,
like I'm eating a banana, and when I look back at 1970, I always think of it as the Alan Yentob year.
Alan Yentob year.
Yeah.
We, that clip we, thing, we can't.
We
do.
Can't do it.
We can't do it. So he's on drugs and he's all over the place, isn't he? And then the one question you ask, there's lots of questions to ask about Bowie at that point, but one of them is, does he do a German or a Scottish accent?
For what song?
For about 3 seconds.
Okay.
It's very pronounced.
Okay.
And I thought, when I heard it, I'm going to find it. Sorry, I'm just trying to find all young dudes. When I heard it, I thought, oh, well, that's a Scottish thing and harks back to my meeting of him and maybe there's a secret message in there.
Okay. Yeah. But for anyone who doesn't know what Tim was talking about there, he met Bowie but didn't know he was meeting Bowie because he was a child, not Bowie. Tim was a child.
Yeah.
In the Edinburgh Hilton. Was it Edinburgh?
It was Edinburgh, yeah.
Edinburgh Hilton in 1973. And his mum... remembers David coming in with his entourage. So maybe finally a message to you.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been around that time.
Yeah.
But I think it might be German. It's hard to know. It only happens briefly. It's an amazing intro to this. Does this... have you heard this? He does... That's proper clapping. They don't even know what it is yet.
Good evening.
Okay, so we're going
to... Hang on, I loved that.
Okay, we'll keep going. Well, at a certain point, he's going to go into an accent, right? And you just got to say what it is.
So he did a sort of weird doo-wop thing.
Yeah, like a sort of...
Which he did do quite a lot around that time with Driving Saturday and all the rest of it. I think I might have heard it. I can't remember.
It's kind of soul thing, isn't it? It's a sort of Luther Vandross type.
Although, is this the version that you go on about we played before with the saxophone?
No. I can't remember, actually. You might be right.
Do you remember ages ago?
Yeah. It might have a weird...
You played me the comedy sax. Oh, no, that was on Moonish Daydream.
No, it's on Moonish Daydream,
but we did talk about him playing the sax on All the Young Dudes.
Yeah, well, so on the single he plays the sax and I never liked it. Mm. This doesn't have it. This is a brilliant version, by the way.
Okay.
Highly recommended. Cracked actor.
Lucy's stealing clothes from unlocked cars.
What do you think that is? He doesn't do it again.
Well,
is it Marlene Dietrich?
If I'm going to be genuine rather than going into the comedy idea that it's a coded message to you, I think I know what it is, sort of. Which is, if you listen to that, obviously, All the Young Dudes, the original version, Mott the Hooper version, and indeed his single version, is very glam rock. Yep. But this version, about 1974,
yep.
I would say is influenced by what he was into then, which was kind of Brecht-Weill sort of musical yes. theatre time. You know, if you think yes. about time, it's very piano-led.
Yep.
It's very, and everything's slightly overstated and yep. slightly like, you know, like character-based. Yes. And I would say that's what he's doing. He's sort of doing all the young dudes. If you imagine the way he does time, it's got a lot of sort of screeching in yes. it and slightly over-the-top yeah, vocals. Yeah. I think that's what he's doing.
But
it sounds amazing.
He literally does it once.
Do it again.
Lucy's stealing clothes from unlocked cars.
Wow. It might be a message to me. I'll tell you why.
Yeah, probably is. Actually,
yeah, I think it was because sometimes when I do... I don't like doing vocal warm-ups,
right.
but I have to go on stage, as you know.
Right.
As you know, I'm singing Chalk Dust at the Sports Personality of the Year. And I don't like doing vocal warm-ups, but the only thing I'm prepared to do is roll my R's. So sometimes I sit okay. alone in a dressing room going... And I was doing it with, like, every R thing. I was sitting on wow. my own in a dressing room going, radical reason to roam around. I mean, in, like, completely ridiculous way. And it could be, I could have thought about doing... Unlock cars.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't do it just then. Unlock cars. Yeah, that would be a good
one. What does it? What is that supposed to do? Just loosen,
your tongue, I think.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that you don't...
That is amazing. It also reminds me, of course, when you told me how to say Spice Girl by saying Space Ghetto.
I mean, it's worth doing that again. Space ghetto in an American accent.
But you have to say it over and over again, don't you? Space Ghetto,
no.
Space Ghetto, Space Ghetto.
No, you just say it once. Space Ghetto.
Space Ghetto. She's laughed.
Space.
Bella's laughed. I can hear Bella laughing.
Space Ghetto.
That's because it's about Spice Girls. It's her era. Space Ghetto.
Do you
want
to have a go,
Yeah, that's
Bella?
Quite good.
Do you want to have a go? Space Ghetto in an American accent.
Space Ghetto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like
it's brilliant.
For
it's so...
does, by the way, we haven't explained it for anyone who didn't listen to right. a podcast 17 years ago. That's apparently how you say Spice Girl in a Glaswegian accent.
Yeah, but really Glaswegian.
So maybe Bobby was trying to do that.
Space Ghetto.
But maybe he's trying to do that.
Yeah, but I think there's a Marlene Dietrich thing as well, I'm wondering.
Yeah.
But he just does it for those two words. That's what's interesting. He never does it again.
Can you just play it one more time?
Yeah.
Lucy's stealing clothes from unlocked cars.
Oh, from and cars.
And then
it's from and cars. It is, I have to say, it's weirdly like what I was doing the other day, because what I was doing the other day was just thinking of words, and then any time there was an R, even if it was in the middle of the word, I would try and roll my... I'm not suggesting that... Well, maybe I am. Maybe this is what I began this podcast by talking about, which is Bowie calling to me. I know you wanted it to be you, but I think it's me.
It could be.
From behind the...
It's one of us.
From behind the grave. And saying, that's right, David. Keep rolling your ass and it will help you to your vocal warm-ups.
What a load of crap.
Thank you. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thank you very much. Of Stalking Time for the Beatles.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.